Welcome to Adventist Waves.
Welcome to the Adventist Waves podcast. On today's episode, you are going to hear a story about Christian Paul, founder of Give Glory to Him, a ministry dedicated to produce inspirational media that can refresh and uplift people, giving all glory only to God. We will start with Christian's early life and move through his journey as a musician. Listen to the end and you will discover Christian's vision for music ministry. Let's roll. When I asked Christian if he could collaborate with any artist on the earth today, who would that be? His answer reveals that he has a deep faith in God.
I would say Moses and David, two Bible composers that I admired. And Moses, because I don't know how he was able to put the law in all those long chapters and God told him put it into music, and that's something I do. So I'm curious, and also it says that the song of Moses and of the Lamb. So really curious about Moses as a poet and composer, and David as well, as a composer, king, you know, warrior, all these characteristics, but also a musician with his harp, you know, and it seems that he coped through a lot in life through his psalms and his songs. So this two musicians, I would love to meet them, and one day in heaven meet them and do music with them.
Many musicians are influenced by those closest to them, and Christian Paul is no exception. His grandfather played a pivotal role in igniting his love for the violin.
My earliest memories are when I was born here in the States, in California, Southern California, and my parents moved to Argentina, and I was about two or three when I meet my grandfather from Germany that lived in South America, and I saw him play the violin. And I remember till now, like, being mesmerized by that wooden instrument and stick, you know. I didn't know, but something made me, it was like love at first sight with the instrument. And I knew then that I wanted to play that instrument one day. But I guess that reaction was also nurtured by my family and parents that really enjoy music. And my mom actually discovered that as a baby, when she would sing lullaby to me, that I would be humming the melody. So she noticed that there was something musical there, that music kind of lit me up, yeah.
But like many young artists, Christian's path wasn't without its own stubborn twists.
Well, my mom came from the school of you learn first piano and then you choose your instrument. But I had my strong will since little, and I thought I wasn't smart enough, you know, for piano, and I just didn't want piano. So I fought and rebelled against piano. So I regret that now. Now that I'm composing, I tell my mom, you should have forced me. And she's like, you don't know how hard it was arguing with you. And but I'm like, you should have forced me anyway. It would have made such a difference. But then she said, you know, and violin was the instrument. I was like, violin. And they would tell me, Christian, violin requires discipline. And they saw that I wasn't very disciplined at anything I did. So they're like, if you apply that discipline, it'll sound like a crying cat. So choose another instrument, you know. And so then my mom recommended trumpet because my dad had played trumpet in high school. So I picked up the trumpet and did about a year of trumpet. And then just picked some other instruments like guitar, just this fife, little flute. Things like that I would pick and play it much by ear. So yeah, went through some different instruments.
As Christian's passion for music grew, so did the recognition of the importance of formal training. Even though he hadn't immersed himself in music theory lessons as a child, his determination to excel never wavered.
Not really, and that's another area where, many areas, you know, and it's interesting because I'm basically, you know, almost full-time or a good time doing music ministry, And I've had people say, oh, well, you, because you understand the structure of, and that's why you can improvise the structure of chords and whatever. And no, violin was what I took 3.5 years formal training, and it wasn't much music theory. So music theory overwhelmed me and didn't take much.
Learning music takes a lot of commitment and practice. Christian's journey in learning the violin illustrates this.
Yeah. Well, with the violin, I tried to force myself, you know, going a little forward in regards to the violin. You know, it was all these instruments that I learned by ear, trumpet and a bit of guitar and others. And then we moved back to South America. We went back and forth between the States and South America. And we moved back to South America. And there's this young guy that tells me, Christian, you don't give up on your dreams. I also want to learn the violin. We need to find an instrument and we're going to follow our dreams. And he helped me find my first borrowed instrument. And it wasn't even a full size. And I went to a teacher for 1 month. And it was a very formal teacher, just posture for a month. Move, no, a little more, adjust here, no, like this. And he would give me like music theory, memorize rules of music theory. And I was like, maybe my parents were right. This is too difficult. And I just gave up. And it's interesting how God has key people. You know, this guy was Daniel, the guy that encouraged me. And God has key people to encourage you in your journey. I thought I just give up. But we later moved closer to my German grandfather. And he suggested, why don't I teach you, Christian? And I was like, okay, well, sure. Let's give it a try. And in the first class, he let me play open strings and showed me. Open strings means that you're not pressing any finger on the fingerboard, just the bow. And that sound was motivation enough to continue going. I was like, wow, because the violin is not an instrument that you know, it squeaks and scratches very easily. And just that sound. And in 3 months, I was so excited. And we were playing in 3 months duets and hymns. And I was trying to teach myself vibrato. It was just like amazing. But then after that, we moved away from my grandfather. So again, I was on my own. And 3 months is not much formal training. So I continue, I think, for 2 years trying to continue teaching myself. And I would record and play duets with my recording. So there started a little bit the journey into my recording. And then some family member said to my parents, you need to send this guy somewhere to learn. Like, even if he needs to travel, and the closest, like, important city in the province where he lived was 5 hours away by bus, and the capital city was a whole night by bus. So we asked some musician friends, and they recommended a teacher. And for 3.5 years, I traveled 10 hours once or twice a month to get violin lessons, and that was all my formal training. But to your question of notes, in the violin, I wanted to learn it right. So slow notes, like full notes that last 4 beats, I would in my mind or out loud say A D, to try to force my brain that knew how to play by ear but had a hard time learning how to read. I tried to link my brain to the note, the name of the note, and the finger. So I learned how to read notes. Even though I still play more by ear, it's easier than sight reading.
So you can tell exactly when you're out of tune.
Well, in that regard, in the violin, it's a challenge because even a millimeter or a fraction of a movement, basically, of the finger can make it flat or sharp. So it's a lot by ear. So I guess in that sense, playing by ear is good because you need to be criticizing until the brain memorizes the spaces, you know, and hopefully the good technique so that your fingers fall in the right place and it's in tune.
Behind every musician's unique sound lies a multitude of influences. For Christian Paul, those inspirations started in the home and would later be shaped by classical composers. Let's dive into the mix of composers who shaped his musical journey.
Well, I would say the family, like I mentioned as well, being involved, you know, we had family worship and we sang in family worship, and my dad, my mom would sing harmony. So that influence, even when I was around 10, my dad challenged us to like bring a Bible verse to memorize, and he composed a melody for his, and I composed a melody for the verse I brought. So I guess in the family there was good influence in music, and I don't know, since little I just loved classical composers. So if I was playing myself, I was listening to classical music. So I would say the classical composers influenced me, and the interesting thing is, even if you don't know their intention, it can be felt through the music. So you have a Handel or a Bach. Bach, it's said that he would sign at the beginning of his blank score, he would sign JJ, that in Latin meant Jesus help me. And at the end of his composition, he would sign SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, which means to the glory of God alone. So I feel that even if you don't know what's the motivation behind their compositions, that it is an inspiration, because they're composing, and Handel as well, and some of these composers, to the glory of God. So I would say they were also an influence. And of course, my teacher and other people in the family as well.
Christian's musical path was always clear, but its ultimate direction held a surprise. His life-changing conversion experience set a new course, taking him from classical stages to a different kind of performance. Let's dive into this pivotal transition and discover how he embraced the world of music ministry. Christian's journey when starting music ministry began when he was deciding which options he was going to take for his formal education.
Yeah, sure. And it's interesting, because you may be doing all this classical music of composers that compose for the glory of God, but then you have, you know, people that are not religious doing classical music. I would say maybe even atheists doing this music that was composed for the glory of God. So initially, I had just ambitions of fame, and I wanted to be a performer. And I was frustrated because I started late. Because of my parents encouraging me to do other instruments, I felt, oh, if I would have started when I was a little boy, and I would have like started early, I could have been a soloist violinist. So I was in this trajectory, like I shared, this guy Daniel challenges us to continue looking for a violin. I start lessons with my grandfather, and here I am taking lessons in the capital city of the province I was, traveling 10 hours, and I'm thinking, I'm going to enter conservatory, and I was wanting at least to make it to an orchestra as an employee in an orchestra. But here's where the challenge came. I'm, you know, my personal faith is Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I believe that according to the Bible, the Sabbath is a gift of God from to rest and to worship Him in rest. And, you know, the work of an orchestra many times plays on Sabbath, and they work on Sabbath. So here my faith started becoming a challenge with the dream I was having. And my teacher, she was willing to prepare me for the entrance exam to conservatory. And I'm trying to race this race for, you know, make it into my dream. And to give you a little more perspective, I had gotten a bit bitter because of things I heard about the church, and then other people and ministries that went out of the church. And I had been exposed to, you know, different people that I saw as hypocrites. And as a young person, you know, young people can many times pick on hypocrites. It's like, you preach one thing, you live another way. So for me, it was like, okay, if those that follow God are like that, and their marriages, you know, conservative people, but they're bickering and just is something unattractive, let me go and find my passion and finding my dreams and following my dreams. But then, you know, as I'm trying to think about this, I read biographies like a famous musician, you know, of Elvis Presley or others, that said millions at his feet or thousands at his feet, no one at his side, and how they were lonely and empty. And I'm like, okay, there's actors, there's artists that have made it to the pinnacle and are empty, and fame and money is not making it for them. So then a crisis came in me. It's like, I'm wanting to go to conservatory and follow my passion for not the right purposes, to give glory to God, but for self-exaltation and for applause. but I'm seeing that applause and fame and money is empty. And here starts the crisis of what do I do? And here is where my mom doubled the fight on her knees. I was very independent, so if you told me don't do this, I was going to be like, that's what I want to do. So I would go and tell my mom, I'm going to study in conservatory, rent an apartment, and I'm going to do this. And I was expecting a, no, that's not God's will, you know, that won't go, something like that. And I was ready to fight or turn 18 and do whatever I wanted. But she would say, okay, Christian, if you're sure that's God's will, go for it. It just got me so, you know, angry, because if you're sure it's God's will, go for it. And then she would go and pray, you know, and I knew she was praying for me. And later this inspired a song that I wrote, this time of her doubling her prayers for me. So I came to the point, but see, Khan, this was the challenge. It's like, it's my dream since, you could say, age 2 or 3. And I'm coming close to the dream, but it seems to be conflicting with my faith. And then I would tell my mom, Mom, I would like to find an Adventist orchestra somewhere where I can do this for a living. And mind you, there are careers in our universities of violin performance, but where can you find a job? The majority of jobs is later teaching as a teacher. If you want to be like in the time of David, the musicians in the temple, music evangelist or performer, share your music as a living, where do you go? And my mom would tell me, in heaven, Christian. And I was like, no, why can't it be now, you know? So that was the dilemma. It's like, I can't do music for performance and for playing as a living in the church. I don't see any place. And in the world, it will conflict with the Sabbath if I want to play in an orchestra. And I'm not interested in just being a violin teacher. So it was really a crisis, and it felt like the sacrificing of Isaac. It's like, I'm so close to this dream, and I need to kill it. And so I remember, you know, one time I had an argument and told my mom some ugly things, and I went to my room, and there I am, you know, like, upset or just disturbed with life and with what to do. And it's like, God tells me, Christian, why don't you give me a chance? And I'm like, you know, in our minds, it's like, if you've grown in the church, you're like, I know everything about God. I know everything about doctrine. I've already tried this. And that's what I see a lot of young people. Oh, we already tried the church and there's nothing for us. So let me go and try something else. Have you really? Has like the God of Abraham and Isaac become your God? And I think in the case of Jacob, it was when he was fleeing. And he grew up knowing about the God of Abraham and Isaac. But until it transferred to becoming your God. So here God is challenging me. Christian, why don't you give me a chance? But it's like this fierce. What if he calls me to be a pitiful missionary and I wanted to be somebody, you know? And what if he calls me to marry an ugly girl? And what if he, you know, calls me to all this? And it's like, Christian, why don't you give? Yeah, but, you know, I've seen these Christians and they don't look like happy. And taste and see directly, you know, don't see me through the eyes of other Christians, but why don't you taste and see? And I knew that meant full surrender. So I was needing so much peace that finally I said, okay, God, even if it means the death of my dreams, even if you call me to be a pitiful missionary, you know, whatever it is, I just surrender because I need a peace. And you know what? There was, I would say, one regret that I didn't do it earlier. Because the peace, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know. But the peace that God brought into my heart was something that I had been looking in music and horses. That was another of my hobbies. And I was buying horses and trying to start a horse jumping school. But none of that had brought, even though there are still hobbies that I enjoy. So God has put desires in our hearts that he wishes to fulfill. But sometimes he needs us to kill Isaac to later have or be willing, not kill, because Abraham didn't kill it, but be willing to kill Isaac so that our heart is in the right place so that he can return Isaac to us. He needed to kill the Messiah, you know, in that weekend, the conquering Messiah, so that the disciples' heart would be in the right place and the world would be changed. And my heart was, you know, after fame and money, and here I surrender and I go to, you know, missionary college in the States, to Heartland College to study health. And I think, okay, that's the end of my dreams of music. But I continue during this time doing music, and we form a string quartet in Heartland with friends. And we start playing, and we're doing even more music than I was doing it for the world. But I'm not thinking much of it. But basically here is where the transition when God builds your ministry. And that's what I would encourage others. If God has placed a desire, be faithful and continue to use it, and God will build what he wants to build out of you. If you're faithful, like Joseph, faithful in the little things. And like Joseph, it might seem a long detour, but God is not done with his dreams for you.
Like many musicians, Christian's path was marked by defining moments. His time at Heartland and Europe left a lasting impact on his life. After graduating from Heartland with a health degree, he went to Europe. Here, he began to teach. However, health lectures failed to arouse the attention of the people. So he tried another strategy. Let's listen as Christian shares his experience.
So I studied health at Heartland thinking, I don't want to be a pastor. My dad is a pastor. I've seen, you know, things that pastors go through. So, and I want to have more hands-on experience. And since I cannot do music, or, you know, I don't see a place for music, let me study health. And I studied during my bachelor's that health is the entering wedge to prepare hearts for the gospel. So I'm here doing my, planning to do my internship, and I'm thinking, where could I go? And my heart and my passion was more adventure. Go to South America, the jungles of the Amazon, and reach indigenous tribes that never have heard the gospel. That was the goal I had. So it was not music ministry at this time. I didn't dream about that. But before leaving Heartland, as the string quartet kind of disassembled and people left, I'm having people request for me still to do special music, and I used the opportunity of special music to give a little testimony, a little inspirational thought and special music. And this led later for a church to ask me, can you do a concert? And I had seen Jamie George do concerts with little personal experiences, and I connected with that. So I'm like, that's something, if I'm blessed, maybe I can also do the same and share. So here I give my first concert, and off I go to Europe for my internship. Again, music kind of the Isaac I sacrifice. But in Europe, I go to a health center and a mission school, and I'm working here with young people and with guests, health guests that come. And we have some neighbors, Catholic neighbors of a, you know, the Catholic faith, that we're praying for them and we're wanting to reach them. And we said, aha, let's invite them to health lecture. They're sick, they're gonna come, high blood pressure, whatever. They don't come. What do you do if health doesn't reach people that are struggling with health? So then they invited, the school invited them to other spiritual meetings. They don't come. Then they find out that I do music and another student there does music. And they reach out to us and say, can you come and do a concert for us? And we wanna invite friends for this concert. And I'm like, whoa, we've been praying 2 years, and here they are asking us to step into their home and they'll bring the people to listen to us. So I had two options, or more than two options, but I had the option of just doing it classical and just doing like a cultural, you know, chamber music. I could go Christian, but I felt that might not go well. So God gave me this idea, and we went with this student. She played the piano, and I started with Bach and Handel, you know, or Bach, some classical pieces. And then God gave me this idea for the transition, and I told him, you know, dear friends, that many of our admired classical composers like Bach, Handel, they love to compose music to Bible verses. They looked at me like, you know, where are you going, or what are you saying? I'm like, let me give you an example. Handel's Messiah is a bunch of Bible verses put into this oratorium. And they started agreeing, you know, nodding their heads or agreeing. I'm like, all right, praise God. Okay, so if you don't mind, I have some of my personal Bible, favorite Bible promises that I've composed melodies that I would like to share with you, if it's fine. They agreed. So from there, I felt it was a good transition, you know, not just to start with religion, but hey, you enjoy classical music? and they compose to Bible verses. Let me share contemporary Christian music. You know, that's kind of a play of words. I mean, my name is Christian, you know, and it's contemporary. I'm a living. Sometimes you are against contemporary music, and contemporary just simply means somebody living, alive, or of our time. You know, it doesn't need to be satanic music, you know, from elements that are sensual or that are, no, it's contemporary. So anyway, so here I started sharing this song. They were touched. They enjoyed it. And I was thinking, wait, if I would have said, could between songs, could I share a little devotional thought from God's word? Can I open? Maybe they would have been resistant. Or if I would say, can I share a Bible study? No. But in music, they saw it as art. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, was seeing it as an opportunity to touch their hearts. So then later when I'm sharing with Christian Bardal, he tells me, hey, music could be the entering wedge to the entering wedge. And you know, Khan, I was a bit reluctant because it was the Isaac that I had been willing to sacrifice. So I'm like, I don't want to read into this and say, oh, music is something. So I went to the book Evangelism, this book that talks about evangelism work by one of my favorite authors. And as I opened the chapter, I said, could it be that there's something about music? And I found a chapter called Singing Evangelism, I believe it is. And I started reading, and I got excited because it said, song is one of the most effective means to impress the heart with spiritual truth. I had gone to Europe thinking, how can I reach people that are in a secular place? And, you know, I was thinking of dividing my internship in two places, in a more third world country, but one place was Europe because I had that enigma, that intrigue. How do you reach secular people that don't see the need for Jesus or the gospel? And here I'm finding this quote that says that music, song, is one of the most effective means. And immediately my question starts coming, then why don't we have, instead of so many sermons, why don't we have more composers like Moses, like David, composing our beautiful hope and truth into song if it's one of the most effective means? And I continued reading, and I found a quote where she says that, the author says that they were thinking how to reach the cities, and they were disturbed because people were saying, don't go to the meetings of Seventh-day Adventists, you know, you're going to be deceived. And they were like, if we could just get a chance to share our message. And she says, at night, God sends this dream or vision where a dignified, grave voice, I'm paraphrasing, but a man says to her, I call your attention to the singing talent among you. The devil is using it with great success, and in God's word work, it could do a lot of power for good. When I was reading those quotes, I'm like, whoo, you know, just so excited because I'm like, this book is like 100+ years old, and this council, what have we done with this council? And then she says, much good could be done as singing evangelists. You see, Khan, I thought this was maybe an original great idea, reaching the neighbors with a home concert. And then I come across a quote that says, our young people would do much good as singing evangelists, singing sweet gospel songs. They would be able to reach the high and the low class. They would be able to go from house to house and ask them, would you want us to sing for you and pray for you? Not many will refuse, she says. And when I'm like, what have we done with this council? So this was like a revelation, and that's where the ministry, the thought of the ministry got born during that experience with Europe, and that's where Christian Bardal gives me this statement, Christian, music could be the entering wedge to the entering wedge. And don't get me wrong, Khan, I'm not saying that music is the only pillar, everybody needs to do music, but that there's been an area that God is musical, heaven is musical, Jesus' second coming is musical, the harper's harping with the harp, and I feel that the devil has had a conspiracy so that we neglect one of the most effective means. So I'm not wanting to make all that music is all, I'm just saying it's a neglected area that God has incredible plans to use it for his glory.
That kind of makes me think of like a turbo in a car. Like, you don't really need a turbo in the car, right? Like, if most cars would be fine, but injecting a bit of extra air into the engine, of course, is going to, you know, make it a bit more powerful. So I guess music is a bit like that. It just adds a bit of extra air into the message of the gospel, you know, spreads the air underneath the wings of the angels, so then they can push forward.
Totally. And this could be a whole podcast by itself, Khan, of music and like how Jesus used music and how the disciples used music. I would love, you know, if we have the opportunity of sharing more of this, how is music part of the Great Commission? How is music part? And there's biblical evidence, and I've been going through the Bible. I'm going through the Bible now again and underlining all the reference that I see of music. And I write a treble. Is it a treble? Or yeah, a treble clef, that's a music sign by the verse, because I believe it has been a neglected area. And when you look, like you said, not only a turbo, but God is a musical God, because I believe Zephaniah says that he will rejoice over us with singing. Can't you imagine what it'll be to hear a special music from God himself when we get to heaven, singing what it means to him, for him to have us back home near to him? So God is a musical God. So this is who he is in character, and you see Jesus doing this. And not as a method, but as a lifestyle. You see Jesus, it says, Desire of Ages, this biography of Jesus, that he communed with heaven through song. So it's more than a method, it's more than a technique, it's more than an art. It's a way of worshiping and praising God.
Christian Paul's ministry reaches beyond the traditional stage. The Give Glory to Him project is a testament to the powerful messages of the angels of Revelation chapter 14. We're going to now dive into the inspiration that fuels his original compositions.
So there, as I was sharing in Europe, as I'm studying these quotes, the dream comes, could it be that as part of the Great Commission, and then there's also, for those that are not familiar, a chapter in Revelation 14 of a special message that comes before Jesus returns, a special message to give glory to God, to worship him, to not follow false worship, but follow true worship. And the thought, the hypothesis came, what if this message, the Last Commission, besides being proclaimed, could be sung as well, could be shared as music? And actually, Give Glory to Him comes straight from the three angels' message, this special message in Revelation 14, that says that I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. It's, you know, an everlasting heart of God to save, to go to the uttermost, to love His creation and give Himself for His creation. The everlasting gospel to preach to them that are on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, and there's the name of the ministry, give glory to him. So there was few thoughts when meditating about this, or when thinking about this vision. One was the three angels' message, and could it be that the last loud cry, loud proclamation of an invitation to the Father's house, to the wedding supper, could it be that music has a part? And again, like I'm saying, I'm not saying it's the whole, but a part. So that was one thought. Then the other thought was, when people come, because when you start doing music, many times people come in, and with not bad intentions, but they're like, oh, Khan, you're such an incredible person. Oh, you have this. And they start praising the instrument more than the giver of good gift. And so the thought was, when people came and said, oh, you're amazing, to say, give glory to him. And the other thought was as well, Bach wrote, one of my favorite composers, and I'm going to paraphrase again, the purpose of all music should be none other than the refreshment of the soul and the glory of God. So I felt that we could have an endorsement of a well-renowned composer saying, hey, the purpose of music is basically, you know, what we are trying to do, give glory to God. So that's where the ministry thought came for. And here in the States, when I moved back here to the States, it was actually going and playing in homes where I worked. I was thinking going in a different line. I was thinking studying nursing. But going as I went to work as a caregiver, it was actually the people I took care of that said, Christian, what are you doing with this? Well, I'm planning to go and do nursing. No, you need to do something with this. And they would have nurses and therapists come and say, sit down, Christian, take your violin, play for them. And as I started seeing these people from other denominations, or maybe not even very religious, absorb and be thankful. And then I had a home concert. The old lady that I was taking care of, she's in tears saying, do you know this song, I Come to the Garden Alone? I sang it to her. She's in tears. She's like, can you sing it for my funeral? I'm like, sure. And she's crying, no, I want you to sing it for my friends. So she has a home concert, invites her friends. They come dressed up. A friend says, hey, can you come to my house and can you share a home concert in my house? I'm like, sure. I go to her house. A person says, do you go only to your church or do you play in other churches? Can you come to our church? I go back to the elderly lady's house. She's like, I have another batch of friends. They didn't make it to the first concert. Can we have another concert? So that's when her son-in-law started pushing me, a successful person that had been involved, you know, in the world and business. And he said, Christian, do you need me to give you a kick in your, you know, behinds? Or what do you need for me, you know, to get started with this? And that's where it's little steps, you know, but that's where we did the first music video and opened our YouTube channel with the name Give Glory to Him. But sometimes it's like this man from the great revival, William Miller, that he studied, you know, the prophecies for a long time, but was reluctant to go. For me, I've also faced a lot of reluctancy and sometimes pushback even of people saying, no, you cannot live from music. It's like almost feeling pity for you, like, oh, you're wanting to be a musician, like they feel sorry for you. So, but people encouraged me from other faith, from other denominations, or even not religious. And that's where the thought, okay, give glory to him. Let's do a ministry that compared to before my conversion, I wanted applause, I wanted fame. Now, Lord, I want you to be uplifted. And that's my desire. And that's where the ministry was born and developed and brought to a start.
An 8-year dedication to a project speaks volumes about faith and unwavering passion. The evolution of Give Glory to Him undoubtedly reflects Christian's own spiritual journey.
2016 was when we launched A Praying Mom, the song that I composed, and that links back to my testimony when my mom was praying for me when I was going to go to conservatory and take a path that maybe would have led me away from God. And back in 2016, I composed it for her birthday, and we launched the first video, opened the YouTube channel, and we didn't know how many it would reach, but we launched it a few days before Mother's Day, maybe a week. And by Mother's Day, it had near, I think, to 40,000 views, and we're getting messages from different parts of the world, people encouraging. So that was like a boost. And then it's been a journey of faith, Khan. And I can tell anybody that is listening to this podcast and wondering, oh, you know, and they just see the music videos or they just see the ministry. No, it's a journey of faithfulness in the little things. I invested my savings for nursing, that I was thinking of going to nursing, invested my savings on nursing on 2016, and I ran out of my funds. And I'm like, maybe people are right, and maybe I need to get a real job. And I had an invitation to go to a mission trip to South Africa this time, and I said, Lord, I need to give an answer to my friends that are inviting me to this mission trip. I'll give you a week, Lord. If you want to provide the money in a week, I'll go to this mission trip. And when I'm back, I'll get a real job. And, you know, it's like I gave it a try, but I ran out of funds. And at the end of that week, Khan, and there's so many details to the story, but I'm trying to summarize it. At the end of that week, I give a concert in a Hispanic church. Few church members. I don't see how money can come there for the trip to South Africa. But a gentleman comes with tears and shakes my hands and puts a paper, and it's a check with the amount to go to South Africa. And that became a pattern of God testing my faith until sometimes I'm like, I'm throwing the towel, and God coming through and providing and showing, no, Christian, I want you to keep going forward. So it's been since 2016, and now we're 2024, so it's been a few years. Yes.
The creative path often involves unexpected twists and turns. Christian's faith in God encouraged him to push forward, and God does miracles and provides resources for him to continue his work with Give Glory to Him.
Sure. The conviction has deepened as I've seen God come through. There in South Africa, you know, it was a miracle trip, I would say, flying standby, and in England, somebody telling me you cannot fly to South Africa because your standby benefits, you need to have your flight attendant friend. And I'm like, Lord, you brought me to England to leave me here. And God makes a miracle. I make it to South Africa. On the way back, I plan to record the album Perfect Peace. That is one of our albums in the ministry. And I'm thinking to record in room quality just with my mic. I started learning a lot of these things just on my own. But the person that was doing the piano, she contacts somebody that is an audio engineer, and he says, we'll do the whole thing for you for 3,000 euros. And I'm like, I barely made it, you know, for this trip. I don't have 3,000 euros. I'm broke, you know. But my family encourages me, and as I go back to Europe, I'm praying, and we're going to start recording on Monday. And Saturday night, an old couple comes and puts an envelope, and again, with tears in their eyes, say, continue doing the work that you're doing. And as I go and count, it's 3,000 euros. So as I've seen God in the initial, you know, stages of my weak, fragile faith, and you know, it's miracle after miracle, like the disciples, you know, I'm about to record and people are sick, it's winter. So I'm getting like, feeling like I'm getting sick. And I'm like, Lord, you brought me here. You provided the money. And now I'm not going to have the voice. And it's like the disciples, the next storm that faces them, they're already losing their faith. And the Lord is showing me this lack of faith. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm recording violin. I don't need my voice now. And as I step to record, my voice, God returned the voice, and that's the voice that you hear in the CD, in the album. And so my faith throughout these years has strengthened as I see that God doesn't call me to be successful in men's estimation, in numbers of views, in money. Yes, he might have that as well as plan, but he calls me to be faithful. And if he has called me, I need to remain faithful, and that's to be successful, to be faithful to what God calls me. That's been a journey, and I, like Paul says, not that I've made it, but I strive toward the mark of continuing being faithful, even under discouraging circumstances. But
Christian's background set him up with a series of challenges. But what I really appreciate about him is his resiliency, his willing to learn, which ultimately brought his music to life. He's also discovered new resources, which is helping him to craft his compositions.
You know, some of the challenges, you might see them as crutch weaknesses, and God said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So I want to do that disclaimer at first, because I could say my challenge is not knowing music theory, not having studied formally composition, not having enough formal training, just 3.5 years, you know, of violin with this teacher and 3 months with my grandfather. Challenges of people sometimes not encouraging, not having a possibility of doing it as a pastor's paid salary or as a Bible worker, not having a niche where musicians can work. I can share all these challenges, the challenges of sometimes being alone and not having a band or an equipment, you know, a team of musicians around me, all these challenges. But I believe, as I've meditated and I've taken a step back, like you said, that God works all things for good. So let me give you some practical things of those challenges. I believe the challenge of not having studied an instrument that I can accompany myself has probably been a good reason for focusing on strong melodies. Sometimes we can lean on chord progression and things like that, but not having an accompaniment instrument, the melody needs to have a good direction, you know? So I think that God has been able to use that for good. Also, that has allowed me to team compose. And here's where Fiverr comes, your question about Fiverr. Fiverr is a platform of freelancers, of session musicians, of audio engineers, of different type of resources. And as I came back from Europe and I found myself alone, I started learning piano, what I didn't do as a kid. And that's how I composed A Praying Mom. But it took long time because so many mistakes. And then in GarageBand, I was cutting the pieces that I played well and pacing them together. But that took, I don't know, maybe hundreds of hours, you know, or I don't know, many hours. That was the way I composed A Praying Mom, and I did the accompaniment. But then I realized I don't have a pianist like I had in Europe. And for some years, I didn't compose. But what Fiverr has opened and the pandemic, I think, has opened is you can work by distance. I can record in my phone a melody. I can send that melody to somebody in Colombia, like I'm working currently with a pianist in Colombia, or I can send it to somebody in Fiverr. There's this guy in Fiverr in Brazil that has played praise or worship music. His style is very nice. He arranged the song I composed for my sister. $30 or $50 he charged. It's not a lot of money. I sent him a melody. He plays the piano. So that's where Fiverr has opened doors to work when I didn't have a team. And people ask me, do you have a band sometimes that comes in? And no, we by distance create bands, but there's no limit to what God can do when we let self aside and make room for the Holy Spirit. So the other challenges, yeah, it would be nice to have a salary and be an employee, but maybe there's more flexibility for what God is calling me. And like you kind of have been sharing with me, there's maybe ways of creating income and having the freedom to follow the project that God has placed in my heart. So I see even the limitations. So I was like, I cannot play hard pieces. And I said, let me focus on tone production and playing as expressive. And Beethoven has a quote, playing a wrong note is insignificant. Playing without passion is inexcusable. And I translate that to the Bible verse that says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart and as unto the Lord and not unto man. So I think that even the challenge of not having a lot of formal training has helped me focus not on pieces that impress necessarily, but pieces that I can pour my heart and that God can use to touch hearts. And the challenge of discouragement, of finding, of feeling alone, how else would we grow faith and perseverance and commitment? So yes, there have been challenges and moments of lots of discouragement. I went through a burnout even, recently in the last couple years or then around 2021, had to take a sabbatical. But the Bible says that we cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth, and that God works all things together for good. So I would encourage others, let the challenge not be stumbling blocks, but stepping stones to bring you closer to God and closer to His vision for you.
Now it's time for our Waves Tech Corner break. Similar to podcast production, audio production starts small and improves as time goes on. This was Christian's experience. He started with basic equipment, and then later, he developed a studio on his family's property.
Sure. And that's coming from a guy, I was sharing with you, Khan, you formerly trained as an audio engineer. For me, it was like starting with a microphone in Europe when I started composing songs there, and it was an Zoom H1, I believe it was, a cheap microphone. And I recorded with that the first songs into GarageBand. So that was the first setup, And I've gone in a hybrid back and forth. I later recorded Perfect Peace in the studio and our other two albums in a studio in Vienna, in a building there from the Adventist Church. But this the studio there in the Union. But later I went back to home and got better microphones. So it was like steps. So I bought better microphones. I bought the Audio Technica 4050, the one they use for the Perfect Peace album. So quite an investment there from, actually before that I bought the Zoom H6. I thought if Zoom H1 is good, then the 6 must be great, right? I had no idea, so I just bought that microphone, and many of our music videos were recorded with that microphone. But later I improved, or tried to improve, to the other mics, to the Audio Technica 4050, but the room was still not treated. So recently, yeah, great. So Ken is showing me one there on the screen, and really nice mic. And when I brought my mixes to the audio engineer, he said, hey, it's better sound than when I started with my mixes, So I was like, praise the Lord, he can help you start where you are. But recently I was like, okay, I have good mics. but I know, according to my audio engineer friends that explain all about acoustics and the lower frequencies and higher frequencies, and I know that there's something in a treated room, even if I don't understand all the perks. So that's when I decided to move forward by faith and contact a company that sold us panels, and they're like 6-inch panels, acoustic panels, and corner bass traps, and for the ceiling as well. So we treated this room. We had the mics already. Now we treated this room, and the project, especially where we're premiering or using the room, is the Gospel in Romans project, a project where we've composed at least one, but more than one, song for many, or basically all the chapters of the Book of Romans. So that's our next album project, and the room basically is acoustic panels that we bought, and the mics that we had from before, and I recently bought another Audio Technica for the violin. But we wanted to, with our loaves and fishes and with what we had in our hands, try to bring it to the highest quality, but still have the flexibility of a place we can record when I need to, when I want, and not pay for a studio and be limited to certain days, but kind of more an ongoing thing where I can go and record.
Christian has come a long way since he started scratching out his compositions on an iPod, and now he has big dreams for Give Glory to Him. He wants to take it to the next level and produce high-quality media that moves the hearts of men and women.
Where do I see the ministry growing? I wanted, and what I feel God is calling it, is to become a platform of resources for evangelism, for outreach, for sharing hope. You know, if some people listening to a podcast don't know what's evangelism, what's outreach, our desire is to make a difference in people's life and give them hope for eternity. Plant seeds of truth that breaks, you know, the chains of guilt, of shame, of sin, of selfishness. And I want this ministry for God to help it to be resources in video, in audio, in to be tools for outreach. But a few other areas is also multiply. I would like to inspire and equip others that feel called to write songs, to do music ministry, to share from my experience if they can be helped or blessed in any way. And some projects, one area that I focus in the ministry is composing to the Bible, to Bible verses. Actually, the whole book of Psalms is a whole book of songs, you know. So we have an entire book in the Bible. So I've gone through the whole Bible, highlighted each Bible promises that jumps to me as lyric content that encourages me. And I'm going now through the Bible, and as God inspires, composing melodies, I would like to have at least a few promises from each, or at least one promise from each book of the Bible, have the whole Bible, some promises composed into songs. My mom sometimes tells me, you'll be until Jesus comes. Well, it's a good word to be until Jesus comes. So that's one desire. And other desire and goals is to create concerts, thematical concerts, where we can share our hope that can be shared in cities, in towns, as part as a link in the chain of evangelism. Because I've seen that people really open up to music, and we can later lead them to a full knowledge of Jesus and the eternal life God has for them.
Musicians are creative by nature, and their dreams must therefore be creative. Christian dreams of creating a place where quality Adventist media can be crafted.
Yeah, so like I mentioned, the immediate next project is finishing this album, but as I've seen God provide, I've been, to tell you the truth, brother, I've been shy sometimes of sharing my dreams because I feel, you know, people will make fun maybe, or people will feel pity for, and I'm not a well-known evangelist, you know, or famous person with contacts. But it's like, as I've seen God providing, it's like we put the feet in the water and God opens the Red Sea if that's where He wants us to go and cross. So the dream, I would say even for some years ago, but now I'm articulating, if it's God's will, would be to have a ministry hub, a place of operation that can be something like Pixar. I've heard, I don't know, I lately haven't been the last few years much into movies, but, and I don't want to produce what the world is creating in entertainment and things that put us more in hypnotic states, and it's not good for the brain or for the mind. But I'm thinking of using forms of illustrating and being the head and not the tail, and having a ministry hub where we can have a recording studio built for musicians to come, where if it's God's will, we can build some even cabins for a music production week or retreat week where musicians can fly. We can have workshops, training, and then we can produce with them some music videos in the area. And also a ministry where we can have internships from, I don't know, places like maybe Andrews, Weimar University, other Christian universities where people are studying audio engineering or music, and they either want to know how to develop it in the production sense or develop it in the delivery sense to do home concerts. So it can be a hub where we can train and develop talent and multiply, either, like I said, in the production field where we need a lot of help. I've been doing a lot of the editing and tuning the voices and lowering the breath and a lot of that goes into the track, but we could multiply and have multiple people. And we have other places, academies, like one that I've admired, Fountain View Academy. But then the question is, once the academy student, high schooler graduates, we don't see many times as a church, as people, a field for a professional ministry career for the audio producer or artist, or I like to call it music missionary, but I believe there's a need. So if there's a need and there's a calling, God can provide the way. And I think a ministry hub could provide resources for different needs of music production and content production. This is not just music, it's evangelism content production.
When I asked Christian if there was another organization that inspires him and does something along the same lines, this is what he has to say.
I think from other denominations or even the secular world is what I have looked and are doing it successfully. And not that I agree, so I don't want to get into controversial of my opinion if I agree with the content or not. But I see places like The Chosen Series. I see Angel Studios. I see the Mormon Church. I see other churches and denominations creating content. And again, I believe we can be truthful to not focusing on entertainment, but focusing on content that can uplift and lead people to Jesus, but that we can be wise. Jesus said, how does that verse say? The children of darkness are wiser than the children of, you know, of light. So I think we can be wise in streamlining things to be sustainable and be top of the line for the glory of God. So I don't know if I can give you many examples, but I've seen some in other denominations or even in the secular world, how they operate. I think there are things we can definitely learn from them.
Some projects in the Adventist Church provide media ministry classes, but a platform where young people can use their creative talents is something quite different.
I think it's something that takes the student a little more developed and allows them to do an internship and hone those skills or challenge or push. What I understand from Pixar is that it's a very creative atmosphere and people are pushed and given the freedom. And this is what inspires and motivates me, Khan. I find young people as I've traveled that are like, what is my calling? Which talent should I use? And it's like finding a challenge, and maybe they are into biology, or maybe they're into photography, or maybe they're into graphics design, but they don't know how to use those. And yeah, maybe for an interview, maybe for one of our television show, but they would like to do more. And I think that God's work or methods of evangelism are as creative as God himself is creative, that we don't need to limit to a few boxes: pastoral work, Bible worker, medical missionary, nurse. That's all that we need to do. I think that even the areas of the Great Commission and medical missionary work, that there's other art got included in the sanctuary, so many of the senses. And again, here we're not going about Eastern meditation and you know, transcendental meditation. I'm not talking about that form of the senses, but that the gospel can be packaged and God can use many tools. And those young people just give me like a passion to, let's give them a platform for using those contents. So to your question, a bit different. Yeah, and that's why I was bringing The Chosen or other series like that in the actual production of content. So this ministry hub can have some courses and some online training, but being more like an internship or applied learning, that you're learning the skills, kind of like the experience I've gone. You learn what you need to accomplish, you know, a production. And maybe other ministries can do the theory and can train longer school time, but this is more like hands-on, you know, learn on the job, internship, practicum, and hopefully even develop work for those that want to stay longer term.
Christian's journey proves that when we align our gifts with a higher purpose, amazing things can happen. There's likely a budding artist out there who is listening to my voice right now, who needs encouragement. Like last week's podcast, Christian encourages us to start now and do it to the very best of our ability.
If God is calling you to do something or putting a desire, don't let people discourage you from that. I remember, you know, when I was back in college saying, let's do music videos, and some people telling me, some friends, it's too hard. No. Don't accept no's if God is calling you to do something. So it really, what needs to fuel your desire for something is, one, a desire that God places there, and another, an assurance that God is wanting you to step in that direction. And two, I would say, don't see such a big package. I want to start a ministry, because a ministry is the accumulation of faithfulness in the little things. So start being faithful and start seeing what are the building blocks. If it's a song, you know, I started with my iPod in Austria composing my first song, an iPod in GarageBand with the chords. We, you know, you went up and down and could do the strings, a crescendo. That's how I started. So start where you are. Start with what you have. You have more with a phone, with the apps. Start where you are. I have a friend that they did a music. It wasn't even supposed to be a music video, with an iPhone, and they played, and it got, I don't know, over 2,000 views, I think. It just has been a blessing. And later in a, you know, general conference, I believe what they were requesting her video to play it. And the general conference, this is a meeting that the Adventist Church has every 5 years. So start with what you have. If you have a phone, start there, and always try to improve for the glory of God. So don't stay there. Continue improving, but start where you are.
We hope this episode of Adventist Waves has given you a fresh perspective on how media can be a powerful tool for ministry. If you enjoyed today's conversation, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and connect with us on social media. You can also support our work directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/Adventist_waves. Your generosity enables us to produce more high-quality content and reach a wider audience. Special thanks to our production team at Blue Vineyard Audio, and our producer, editor, mixer, and sound designer, Khan Elmers. We'll see you next week as we continue to explore the art of sharing the gospel through sound.
Adventist Waves,